But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not burn. The flames will not set you ablaze. The Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba. In your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life.
The human quest for joy can start at such a young age, and I can now firmly say I've found that joy, and I really want to share that with other people. With the one-year admission course at Newbold College, I think it really has already strengthened what I have to share and how I can share that in a good way. I hope something of what I've shared will remind you of what God has called you to do, and I'll leave you with a verse from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have a good day.
I think the mic doesn't like me. thank you, Seanad, for that. The reason why I wanted her to say that, and also she actually asked me if she could say a little something about her mission trip, is I actually did 1 year mission this time last year. And I went on my mission trip to Cyprus last year, May. And part of my sermon today is going to be talking about a lot of things that happened on my mission trip and, how it can be scary sometimes when God calls you to do something that you are a little bit unsure about. So I want to tell you a story about culture shock, a moment in Cyprus that right now when I think about it isn't that big of a deal, but at the time I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. But before I start, I'm going to pray. If we all bow our heads, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us all here today. Thank you that it is such a warm and sunny day and that spring is finally coming. Lord, I pray that whatever it is that I say today, you will speak through me and you will touch the hearts and the minds of everyone in this room. In your loving name I pray, amen. So, it was week one of living in Cyprus, and in my accommodation, well, it was actually the community center that we were staying in. It's called the Meeting Point. And there were two toilets used by the missionaries. Sorry. Careful of the mic, used by the missionaries and then also used by the church members. And obviously it was a male and a female toilet. And so in the female toilet we had a shower, and then in the male toilet it was just a toilet and a sink. So I think the female one was pretty nice. Anyway, so we kept wondering, why does it keep blocking up? We've only been here a week, there's only four of us here, five actually. So why does it keep blocking up? And we were like, you know, we don't go to the toilet that often. Like, it can't be that. So, on Sabbath, we ended up asking one of the church members, you know, why does it keep blocking up? Why does it keep blocking up? And they said, oh, do you, you know, like, after you clean yourself, do you drop the toilet paper in the toilet or do you put it in the bin? And I was like, in the toilet, of course. Like, why would I put it in the bin? And they were like, that's the problem. You're putting the toilet paper in the toilet. So, essentially, they told us that in Cyprus, the sewage systems and also the piping systems are very, very bad. And so, like, the pipes are too small to be able to take all the tissue and everything else. And so they said we have to put the toilet paper in the bins. And that meant we had to then take the bins out more regularly. And also because the toilets were so small and the bins were so small, it would smell a lot. So that was the biggest culture shock for me. And then it was even more of a culture shock when I came back home and I was able to just drop it in the toilet. it was a blessing. Anyway, so yeah, Cyprus was interesting. But there's a scripture in the Bible that I often skip over a lot. And I don't know if you guys do this as well when you're reading your Bible and, you know, there's always a scripture that you end up kind of skipping over because you always see it, you kind of know it already, and it's just a bit like, yeah, you know, like, I know it by heart, I don't really need to study it again. For me, this scripture was Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 4. And it says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life." And that was beautifully read out by a very, very young Darius. Thank you so much. I was so impressed by that. So yeah, I tended to skip over this scripture every single time I would come to read Isaiah. Because, you know, I saw it all over my social media. I would see it all over Pinterest. And I was just a bit like, yeah, you know, God's with me. Like, I'll walk through fire and pass through waters. But why do I need to read this over and over again? But when I reflect on my mission trip, I can see how this passage actually impacted me so much and helps me to see how much God has brought me through my life and through my mission and to where I am today. So, it was 2 weeks before applying to go to Cyprus. Well, not applying, but booking the tickets to go to Cyprus. And essentially, the one-year admission course that we have at Newbold, you live 3 months at the college, and then you have to decide where you're going on your mission trip. And I had no idea where I wanted to go. And we had Cyprus, we had Serbia, and then we had a couple of other places that we could have gone to. And I was a little bit unsure about Cyprus because there was a lot of people going. There were 7 of us going, including myself and then another girl. And I was a little bit like, oh, I don't know. I don't know about this. Like, I don't know if this is right. But it was 2 weeks, 2 weeks before I ended up actually leaving to go to Cyprus that I made the decision. And it was a very quick one. I messaged the lady in charge and I was like, hello, yeah, I'd like to go to Cyprus, please. And she was like, yes, like, let's have a phone call. I would absolutely love for you to come here. And she said to me, you'd be teaching English to Ukrainian and Russian refugees. And I was like, nice. So the problem was, is within those 2 weeks, after I had made the decision, I began to feel doubtful. And I kind of thought to myself, I don't think I'm good enough for this. I don't think I'm able to do this. I don't think I have the characteristics or the personality type to be a missionary or to go on mission and teach English. Like, how? I'm not a teacher. My mum is, but I'm not one. So I don't know how I was just like, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. But when we read Isaiah 43 verse 1, it says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you." God is speaking to his people here, to the Israelites, as their creator. He who created you, he who formed you. So what I was doing is I was saying to someone that God created, to myself, you're not good enough. You're not worthy enough. You don't have the characteristics or the personalities to do this and to do that, to be a missionary. God was looking down at me thinking, Laken, I gave you those ambitions to want to do mission and to want to speak to people, to teach English, and to do something with your life with me in it. So why are you telling me that you're not worthy enough and you're not good enough? And why are you doubting? I created you and I formed you to have these ambitions. A week later, I'm still at Newbold and I'm getting ready to pack everything up to go back home for a week and then leave to Cyprus again. And I get a phone call from my chaplain. His name's Danilo. And he's like, hi, Laken. Maritza, the lady who's in charge of the mission in Cyprus, she'd like to speak to you. And I was like, oh, you know, she could just phone me. And he was like, no, she's here at Newbold. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, she'd like to speak to you in the library. So I was like, oh my days, have I done something wrong? Have I done something bad? Like, am I kicked off? Like, what's going on? And so I get to the library and I meet Maritza. Sadly, she actually passed away last year. She was such a lovely woman. And I get there and I'm like, oh my days, I'm so scared. She's gonna tell me that you're not doing this anymore, you're not good enough. And I was just like, okay, Lakin, it's fine. So I go up to her and I meet her and she's like, hi, it's so lovely to meet you, Lakin. And I was like, wow, there's something about this woman that I've never seen in anyone else. She's probably the most godly fearing woman I've ever met in my life. And she was like, okay, you can sit down, you know, I'll sit here. And I was like, is everything okay? And she was like, yes, everything's fine. And she was like, but I want to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. And she said, I'm going to be sending you to a different part in Cyprus. And I was like, what do you mean? And she said to me, so obviously there's 7 of you going, and we don't have enough room for 7 of you in Limassol, which was one of the meeting points where they had the English lessons and also the accommodation for the missionaries to live in. And I was like, okay, there's not enough of us, so you want to send me elsewhere? And she said, yes, I'm going to be sending you to Larnaca, which is obviously another meeting point and another place where you can do your English lessons. And she said to me, but don't worry, don't be scared. I was like, well, I am, so there's not much you can do there. And she said, don't worry, because you're gonna have someone with you. And she said, you get to choose who you get to take with you. So I said to her, I'd really like to have Fuiva, which was one of my really, really good friends on my 1-year mission cohort. And she said to me, you don't need to be worried. I can tell by your face that you're afraid. And it reminded me of this part in Isaiah 43 where God says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Do not fear. This is a commandment. So when we look at the context of Isaiah 43, by outward circumstances, the people of Judah had reason to be afraid of Babylon's army and the exile. But God here, when he says, do not fear, for I've redeemed you, he points them past the present circumstances to this command, do not fear. And so when she said to me, do not fear, Lakin, I was like, but okay. And then I went back up to my room after she had prayed with me and everything. And I said to God, I was like, what are you doing? Like, I just said yes to going to Cyprus. I still don't feel like I'm good enough to go. And I'm scared. I'm so scared. But there was almost like this thing going on in the back of my mind. And now when I look back, I know it was God. It was this thing of just a voice saying, don't be scared. There's absolutely no need to be scared. There's no need to be afraid. And what's interesting is here in Isaiah where it says, I have called you by name and you are mine. And then before that it says, for I have redeemed you. So God not only has said he's the creator, that he created me, but he's also now said he's a redeemer. He's redeemed me. He's redeemed the Israelites. And he's called them by name. And he said that you are mine. So God twice takes ownership of his people as their creator and as their redeemer. Ownership. And it's personal because he says, I have called you. I have called you. And then his ownership is certain because he seals it by saying, you are mine. So in the back of my head, I was thinking, oh my days, I'm so scared. I can't do this. But God was saying, Lakin, firstly, I've created you with these ambitions. I have now redeemed you from this scaredness that you feel inside of you.
And not only have I done all of that, but then I've called you by name, and I want you to remember that you're mine. There's no need to be afraid when you're mine. So, I fly to Limassol because we were told that we were living there for 1 week and then we would be moving to Larnaca. And it was very difficult trying to create some sort of routine in a completely different place, a completely different country, different weather, which was amazing. It was like 45 degrees there every day. It was lovely. But trying to create a routine was so difficult because I love routines. I love routines and I love waking up early. I love reading my Bible. I love having my breakfast and having my morning coffee, which might be controversial, but I love it. I love it so much because it sets the tone for the day. But it was so difficult trying to create some sort of routine in a completely different place, and then I had to figure it out with other people around me, with four other missionaries living with me. And I was sleeping on a table with a thin mattress, and then one of my other friends, Fuiva, she was sleeping on the sofa, and then two other girls were sharing a bedroom. And yeah, it was very difficult. And that was one of my obstacles. One of my many, many obstacles that I experienced in Cyprus was trying to create some sort of balance, some sort of grounding and foundation as a missionary. But again, in Isaiah it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame, it shall not consume you." So even though I may have had the obstacle of creating a very simple routine, which actually could have been very easy if I wasn't so scared and my mind wasn't so all over the place with anxiety, God is saying that through any obstacle you come across, I am there. Deep waters, I am there. Walking through fire, I am there. You won't be burned. Why? Because I am there. And so, not only was I struggling with making routines, but I was also struggling with actually spiritually and emotionally connecting with God. And this also is what posed as an obstacle for me. But I want you to notice here the language that is used. It doesn't say if you pass through the waters. It doesn't say if you walk through fire. It doesn't say if you are burned or if the flame will consume you. It says when. When you pass through waters, when you go through rivers, when you walk through fire, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of when. It will happen. And it's sad that it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. God is saying you are going to face trials and you're going to face battles and you're going to go through struggles. And I did. But he's saying that I am there. And when you know and remember that God is there, walking through those obstacles and walking through the fire and passing through the water becomes so much easier because you remember that he's there. So, I then moved to Larnaca, and again, I had to somehow come up with a routine. And it was a lot easier this time because it was just myself and one other girl, Fuiva. And it was a great time. It was really good. However, it was a little bit difficult with the living situation because where we were in more of a touristy town. And so you had a lot of nightlife, and it was a little bit like quiet during the day, which was nice. However, one of the difficulties that Fuiva and I encountered was how men viewed women in Cyprus. And pretty much, if you don't look Cypriot, and if you don't have Cypriot like features, then as a woman, then they see you as available. And so every single time Fuiva and I would leave the building, I would say, and I'm sure she would say it as well, but I would say a little prayer in my head of like, Lord, please be with us as we just go get our groceries, or we just go out to the beach, or we go get snacks for the English lessons. And I don't know, like, in the moment of doing that little prayer in my head, I didn't really think about it enough to the extent that I constantly remembered and consciously remembered that God was with me when I was then walking about in Cyprus or in Larnaca. But when I think about it now, I can actually like envision God walking with me and walking with her, like almost like on our shoulders, just like, yeah, anything that comes in your way, I'll protect you. And when I think about this now, it got me thinking about how I struggled to obviously emotionally and spiritually connect with him and visualize him. But what God is saying here is, I will be with you. I will be with you. So when we begin to like envision God stood right next to us, when we can hear him, we can see him, we can connect with him like visually, emotionally, and spiritually, like imagining him like holding your hand as you go about like climbing the mountain like Ciara did, or just walking about in your work day, in your school day, in your everyday life. It becomes so much easier when you then encounter those obstacles like I did with the routines, with just the safetiness of living my spiritual life and my emotional and mental health and physical health. Because when you do that, and when you start to remember, like, you know, God is much bigger than this obstacle, and you remember that, wow, like, I have the almighty, all-powerful God stood right next to me, you know, what can be against me? Because if God is saying that he's with me, that means he's for me. And if he's for me, then who on earth can be against me? Because if I'm stood here, that means he's here as well. And anything on that side, they can't get me, because God will just put his hand up and say no. But the thing is, if I never experience those obstacles and those difficult times, spiritually especially, I would never have learned how to see God. And I would never have learned how to emotionally and spiritually connect with him. God wants us to look past those fears and those anxieties that we have. Because he says, do not fear, you're mine, I have called you by name. It was even more difficult coming back home and then having to readjust to living with my family again, from going and living with one other person to then living with my parents and my sister. It was really strange, and I was like, wow, you know, life has still continued on back at home, and I now have to get back into that routine. And it was difficult, because the fire and the spirit that I had for God, like how I was so on fire for God whilst I was on my mission, it kind of felt like someone had just come and put it out, because I was not thinking about him every day like I was thinking I was a missionary, but instead I was just back at home doing my normal routine again. And it was really, really difficult. But in Isaiah, verse 3, it says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When we remember who God is and his identity, it becomes so much easier again for us to overcome the fears and the anxieties and the obstacles that we have on our walk with Christ. Because when we remember God's characteristics and who he is, he's our Savior, he's our Lord. He created us, he redeemed us. When we remember this, it becomes so much easier. It becomes so much easier because you can just visualize him right there and you can say, wow, like, I'm protected all the time. And the other thing is, when you remember God's identity, you then remember how he sees you. So at the start of my mission trip, and then now coming home, I was struggling again with my self-worth. I was struggling with you know, my spiritual life again, because we go through those ups and downs. But in verse 4, it says, this is how God sees us. It says, because you are precious in my sight and honored, I love you. He's calling us precious, precious in his sight. And he says that we're honored. But I think the best part of this verse is that he says, I love you. So all of the things that I was telling myself at the start of my mission trip and throughout my mission trip and then coming back home, like, you're not worthy of it. You know, you're not good enough. You can't do it. You don't have the motivation right now. And yeah, you're just not good enough. God goes and says, you're precious. You're precious in my sight, through my eyes. And you're honored. And I love you. And sometimes we may go about our day and we may never hear, I love you. And I remember saying to my mum when I was back home last week, I said, we don't say I love you enough. You know, we don't say it enough, and we should. But we can read it here if we don't hear it enough and if we don't say it enough. But we can read here that God says, I love you. And when you read this verse, verse 4, I want you to put your name instead of the you. I'm going to use my sister's name as an example because she's not here. Because, Jamie, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, Jamie. It can be so scary when God calls us to do something that we don't want to do. I was excited to do my mission trip, but deep down there was something inside of me that was so afraid and so scared. But when we remember God's identity, that he's created us, that he's redeemed us, that he is our God, that he is the Holy One, that he is our Savior, we then remember how he then sees us. As precious, as honored, and the best part of all, that he loves us. So yes, it can be scary, but looking to God through the difficult times and always looking past your obstacles and knowing that he is there, well, obviously, with God, nothing is impossible. So thank you.